It usually begins with a simple "What's up?" message. A political operative delivers an assignment to a social media influencer for hire. The jobs vary, but the ask is always the same: make this content go viral. We spoke with a Kenyan influencer who insisted he had to remain anonymous. The person you see here is an actor. During our interview, the influencer revealed some secrets about an industry that, as Kenya gears up for a general election, has grown in size and impact. So tell me about your operation. What's the size of your team? How does the process work?
My team is sometimes just 30 people and can grow up to 100. I'm the point of contact with the client, and I let the team know about our assignments through a WhatsApp group chat. We then use Facebook and Twitter to push political messages.
How much do your services cost?
It depends on the task, but it ranges from 50,000 shillings to 1 million shillings. That's like $8,500.
Can you give me an example of something your team has made go viral?
I'm not going to answer that, because then you'd know who my client is.
Okay, but in general terms, how would you describe the content you help spread for politicians?
Look, my team is ethical. We are very careful with what we push. We mainly share content that promotes the politician's track record, or if they are new, their promises for the people.
Have you ever agreed, though, to attack your client's competitor or spread negative information?
Yes, it happens.
For all the assertions that the work is above board, this influencer does not advertise his services, and secrecy is paramount.
It's now become part of the repertoire of being a big honcho politician to also have a certain amount of influencers or bloggers or people that can quickly whip up a certain sentiment about you online. It is done in secret because sometimes some of the stuff that these people put out again falls into incitement, and a lot of it is fake and manipulated content. And much of the time they also violate the terms of service of many of the platforms in which they engage.
Propaganda is a budget item when it comes to politics. You have to have budget for propaganda. You have to have budget for amplification. It's usually under communications, but we know what communication means in politics. We know what that means. Like, that's the name of the game is propaganda.
Chances are minimum that Raila Odinga can win 2022 general election.
Influencers are ubiquitous this election and are utilized by virtually all Kenyan politicians. Their primary targets are leading candidates William Ruto, the current deputy president, and Raila Odinga, the former prime minister. Much of the misinformation features run-of-the-mill fakery, Photoshop campaign rallies, fake endorsements, or doctored academic qualifications. However, the posts often veer into darker territory, and a lot of them live on TikTok.
This is an application that did not exist 5 years ago when we were having our elections in 2017. But suddenly, TikTok has become very popular with the younger demographics. Much of the content that we had reviewed was teetering on the edge of promoting hate speech and incitement to violence. Using othering language, which we know has been used a lot during genocide, things like madoa doa, which is a very laden term in the Kenyan political context.
Ya UDA ni kutoa madoa doa. Madoa doa kama wakikuyu, walue, wakisi, waluo, wasomali, na hata wakamba. Tuko tayari kutoa madoa doa.
The madoa doa just means it's almost like stains or something. And so when you mention that, what you're trying to do is bring up tribal tensions. What you're trying to do is re-traumatize Kenyans. We were thrown deep into the post-election violence, and those wounds are still very fresh. They will continue to do videos that look like, you know, horror, apocalyptic, you know, end of the days.
That recipe for online success may have been imported. Take this video. It paints a devastating future for Kenya if William Ruto wins the election. It's slickly produced, but is a direct ripoff, scene for scene, of a video President Kenyatta's campaign put out in 2017. The target was Raila Odinga, who was campaigning for office back then as well. The video was put together by Harris Media, a Texas-based marketing agency made infamous by its political work around the world. They and other companies like the notorious British consulting firm Cambridge Analytica worked on two of Kenyatta's presidential campaigns. Those companies might not be involved with the candidates in the 2022 elections, but the methods they employed are still in play.
Their stench is still pretty much in the room. A lot of the tactics that we saw attributed to Cambridge Analytica and the other two companies are still very much being used within our political sphere, especially on social media platforms. I look at something like the Real Raila campaign, which I think we had never really seen before, that was sort of trying to paint this picture of the opposition as this sort of boogeyman that needed to be feared. The use of very emotive campaigning characteristics within campaign messaging and the very specific use of platforms to try and disseminate this content into the public consciousness.
It's nearly impossible to pinpoint the origins of this content or the number of players involved. And with so few influencers willing to speak on the record, much of this process remains in the shadows. So we took our question straight to the digital strategists of the two leading candidates, William Ruto and Raila Odinga. Mr. Otani, thanks for speaking with me. Can you clarify, has the Raila Odinga campaign hired influencers to amplify their message this election?
Yeah, majority of the influencers who do things for Odinga are people who are volunteers, who believe in his message.
So you're saying you don't hire influencers in secret to attack Mr. Odinga's opponents or spread propaganda about his main rival, William Ruto?
To my knowledge, no. The Kenya Kwanza campaign focuses a lot on switching videos, switching messaging. Like Raila will say one thing, then they will twist it to mean something else. We don't engage in the kind of propaganda that other team engages in.
I spoke with the Odinga campaign, and they say you guys, on the Ruto side, what you call the Kenya Kwanza campaign, edit videos and hire influencers to spread propaganda. Is that true?
We have no time, actually, in the campaign to do even manipulation. Even me at the top of the campaign, I'm not hired by the campaign. I'm a volunteer to the campaign. So any other thing that would say that the campaign has hired people, then would be misinformation by itself.
Do you know whether the Odinga campaign hires influencers to spread negative messaging about Ruto?
I mean, when you see 40 people sharing exactly the same message, then those are definitely people on a payroll. So if there is money and payment, it's on the other side of the campaign.
Accountability is lacking in Kenya. Some steps have been taken by platforms like TikTok and Twitter to delete harmful information or suspend accounts, but it hasn't been nearly enough to stop the problem. The main governmental agency responsible for doing something is called the NCIC. They released a list of banned words on social media, including madoadoa, but were widely ignored. They've even brought influencers to court for hate speech, but Kenyans have yet to see a prosecution.
The government could be really doing things, but we don't get to know what they do because there's always an information gap that there are active cases on hate speech in court. There are people who have actually been arrested on hate speech, but these cases are usually not highlighted. So the resulting effect is us thinking that the government is not doing anything. And I think what we need and what my ask would be to the government is to make an example out of a case where we actually see it and we actually see them being persecuted.
I think the reason we have poor accountability when it comes to this type of thing is because we have very weak institutions. The NCIC could be one of those entities where we are seeing very clear examples of violation of certain laws, but nothing is essentially happening to the people that break those laws. Yeah, they're not strong, independent institutions that are unshakable to the opinions of their overlords within the government. And that's a problem.